Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Bragging rights are on the line, and maybe a state dinner, too.
Yes!
It's Zach Gelb against former NFL Pro Bowl quarterback Gus Frerotte in our CBS Sports Radio NFL Picks, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
What's that? What's that? Oh, Zach Gelb won last week? Blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. As always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Gus Frerotte, how we doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. You know, I got a soft spot for you, Zach, so I had to let you win one.
Well, that was nice. I'll take the participation trophy, even though I'm usually against participation trophies. But that's how it goes. Whenever you say you hate participation trophies and someone gives you one, you end up taking it. Let me ask you this, though, Gus, and make sure you check out his podcast on radio.com, Huddle Up with Gus. It is excellent. Last week, we saw a big statement from the Patriots in a loss talking about participation trophies. What do you think of this Patriot team now with Cam, with what you saw on Sunday against Seattle?
I like him. I mean, Russell Wilson had to throw five touchdowns to beat him. So I think Cam's fitting in right with their system. They're playing to, I think what the Patriots do best is play to their players' strong suits. So Cam is really good at running the ball. I don't think he's great at being just a pure scrambler like some of the other guys. I think when you set up runs for him, and, you know, you give him some good passes. He does pretty well. So he's looking like the Cam of old.
If you were coaching Atlanta after last week where the players forgot how to the rules of an onside kick and they just had another epic choke and now they're 0-2, and, hey, I think they should beat the Bears this weekend, but who knows? If you were a coach of Atlanta, if you were Dan Quinn, what would your message be this week?
Well, I would try to find any positives I could from that game and not harp on the negatives, you know, to keep your team spirits up. Hey, look, we scored all these points. We had a defensive player that caused more forced fumbles in a game than since 2002. There was a kid I coached in high school, Foye Luakon. There's some really good positives. Obviously, the big negative was not getting the W. So I think Dan's just got to focus on the positives, try to put everything to the side because he's got to deflect from his players. He's got to take all the pain of the media and everything else, and he's got to let his players go out and have another great day, week.
Gus Frerotte, before we get to the picks, how about the Chargers last week with Justin Herbert? I thought Lynn should have gone for it in overtime on that 4th-and-1, even though he was on his own 34. You can't give the ball back to Mahomes. What stood out to you, though, with Justin Herbert making his spot start because of the medical staff's incompetence with Tyrod Taylor?
You said it best. How do you do that? Like, I don't think I've ever heard of that. I mean, I've had tons of pain shots in my life playing football. I don't think I've ever lost a lung over it. So I think that if he has to start this week, we're going to see a different kid out there. Now, I've been a backup. I've been a starter. When you go into a game and you haven't taken one starter rep and you've been not thinking about the game plan besides just studying it and understanding it and taking your reps on scout team and trying to stay, you know, kind of prepared. But you don't have to go home and think about the game, think about the game plan. It's a different situation. And that's what he did all last week. Now, this week, it's a whole different story. Every day he's going home, hey, you got to be prepared to play. You got to be prepared to play. And so he's thinking about it. He's thinking about the throws, all the throws he made last week. So I think we're going to see a little bit different quarterback. But if he comes out and has another good game, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the Chargers change down the road.
Yeah, I said earlier, I kind of have a feeling, even though I feel I don't feel confident about it, that Carolina finds a way to beat the Chargers this week, even though they just lost Christian McCaffrey. One more before we get to the picks, Gus Frerotte. I know I said one more in the last question, but really this is the last one before we get to our picks, not to waste too much of your time. We were talking earlier about pocket passing quarterbacks, and now we see a lot more mobile quarterbacks. I made the point that, hey, if you have a great pocket passing quarterback, you could still win in this league. But how about this trend in the league now where we're seeing how much the mobility and being a dual threat quarterback is being so important?
Well, you know, I will just say to that, I mean, I was a pocket passer, obviously. And I mean, look, I would have loved to have the abilities of Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and to be able to scramble and get out of the pocket. You know, pocket passers have been around for a long time, and they're going to stay around because if you go back and look through NFL history, most of the Super Bowls that were won were pocket passers, even if they were playing a scrambling quarterback. You know, there's been some amazing players, but, you know, you always have that risk when that guy gets out of the pocket. Those defensive players are headhunting. They know if they can get that guy out, they got one of the top players on the other team out, and they're going to go and try and hit him hard. Now, with the rules of sliding and everything, but, you know, that the guys who can get out, the Kyler Murrays, Lamar Jackson, you know, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, they can get out of the pocket. They make the game super exciting. But they got to be smart.
Huddle up with Gus. Gus Frerotte, the Pro Bowl quarterback here with us on the show. Let's get to the picks. I'll start things off. And my first pick this week, Jeff Driskel starting for the Denver Broncos. Tom Brady, I know he usually doesn't play well in Denver. Tom Brady is not losing to Jeff Driskel. This spread is actually Tampa minus 5.5. Early in the week, I saw it was at 6. Surprised that it's got, you know, it's gone down to 5.5. So if I was going to take it at 6, obviously I'm taking it at minus 5.5. I like Tampa Bay in week number 3 to get a sizable victory over the Denver Broncos.
I like that. I like that. I like your thinking. But it's in Mile High. I don't know. Coming from Tampa Bay up to there, it's going to be a lot of dudes trying to breathe.
That's fine. Jeff Driskel, is the air going to be that much that Jeff Driskel's going to beat the great Tom Brady? Like, I just don't see it. But with that being said, Gus last year did pick the games better than me, so maybe he knows something. Gus Frerotte, what's the game this week that you got, game number 1?
All right, my game, I'm going to take the Colts over the Jets. Minus 11.5, but, I mean, the Jets are without their starting receiver, their starting running back. I think they lost somebody else, too, so, and their defense isn't playing very well at all. And the Colts have one of the best defenses in the league, so I'm going to take the Colts over the Jets.
Yeah, all you had to say there, the Jets just stink. I think this is a good rule of thumb this year. If the Jets, and the Jets are going to be a dog, no matter what the points are, you just bet whatever the favorite is. It would not surprise me if each and every week we're looking at the Jets, and if we're trying to get an easy victory, Gus Frerotte, we go, all right, let's just go with the favorite up against the Jets. Now, here's what I'm hoping for, that this is ugly at the start, and then the Jets get some garbage points in garbage time, and maybe they lose the game 30-20, so you get a loss on the spread. But I just don't see how the Colts lose this game to the Jets, and I'm not even a big Colts fan for this season. Gus Frerotte here with us on the show. All right, Gus, game number 2 for me, even though it was so ugly last week, and I mean ugly. It was so embarrassing what the Falcons did up against the Dallas Cowboys. I trust this Falcons offense, and I don't know if Julio Jones is going to play in the game. He's a game-time decision. Falcons minus 3 up against the Bears. Matt Ryan will put up more points than Mitch Trubisky and win this game by at least 4 points. I take the Falcons minus 3.
I like that pick. I like that because, you know, Matt Ryan puts up big numbers every game, but just somehow they don't end up winning.
So, here's what I would do. Look. If I'm Matt Ryan, Gus, I would put up 35 points and then go up to Dan Quinn and just say, do not mess up this game. Just keep it. You know, for my case, I want it to be like 35-30, but just make sure your defense only allows 34 points. I'd be all over my coach this week.
Well, you know what I would say? Hey, coach, I'm going to put up 60 points this week. That's how we're going to win the game.
I love that. What's your next pick, Gus?
All right, buddy. So this week, Cardinals giving up 5.5 to the Lions. I'm going to take the Cardinals over the Lions.
Yeah, I love that. Arizona, they're going to start the year off 5-0, I think, when you see their opponents the next few weeks. And, yeah, I'd be stunned if we're coming back here on a Monday and talking about the Detroit Lions with Matt Patricia, another coach that needs to get fired, Dan Quinn, Matt Patricia, and Adam Gase, I'd be surprised if the Lions find a way to get a victory. That's a good pick. Finally,
who would you fire first?
Adam Gase. I would fire Adam Gase away.
I agree with that one. I think that everywhere he's been, nobody's turned out for him at all.
Because here's the thing. The Lions, they don't have a future right now. So it's not like he's hurting Matt Stafford. Stafford's going to be gone soon, and good for Stafford. I'd like to see him somewhere else. Dan Quinn, I would have fired him after 2018, but here's what I've been saying. I guess Dan Quinn has naked photos of Arthur Blank, the team owner, so that's the only reason why he's getting kept around. And Matt Ryan, he's not hurting your quarterback in Matt Ryan. I look at Adam Gase. He is ruining the career of Sam Darnold, and this guy's supposed to be a quarterback whisperer, according to Peyton Manning. Give me a break. Adam Gase is terrible. He really is.
Right. I agree. So who you got for your last one?
All right, last one. Gus Frerotte here with us. Huddle up with Gus. Make sure you check out his podcast. I'm going game of the week. Why not? Chiefs-Ravens, Monday night. If you're telling me the Chiefs are an underdog, I just can't pass up on it. These two games both have been close the last 2 years. Maybe Lamar Jackson's due for a victory. I see this game being a field goal type of game. I would probably pick the Chiefs to win outright. So I'll take the Chiefs as my underdog pick, plus 3.5.
Yeah, that extra half point is tough right there. I agree with you. I like that. That's going out in the lid. I'm going to go with the game number two of the week. It's Saints-Packers.
Like that.
I'm taking my Packers as the underdog here. You know, they're getting points down in New Orleans, and Drew Brees doesn't look like the old Drew Brees of old, and Aaron Rodgers and that group, they got it going on right now.
Yeah, I agree with you too on that one. And no Michael Thomas in the game. It looks like Devontae Adams isn't going to play. I just think Aaron Rodgers outshines Drew Brees. You know what I think could happen this week, Gus? I think we're going to go 3-0. Now, I think this each and every week I'm going to go 3-0, and then I get disappointed with myself. But Tampa over the Broncos -6 seems like a lock. Falcons -3 over the Bears seems like a lock. Chiefs +3.5 against the Ravens seems really good to me. And then for your picks, Colts should just totally destroy the Jets -11.5. Cardinals should beat up on the Lions -5.5. And the Packers +3. I've been a fan of that. I think they're going to take down the Saints this week. So if we go 6-0 combined, I'm all right with that. And both of us having a push this week, I'm fine with that, Gus.
I would like that, but just remember the football is not round and it doesn't bounce where you think it's going to bounce. So you never know what can happen. And there is no crowd noise down in New Orleans, so that helps the Packers.
Here's what this means. We're going 0-6 this week. Lock it in. Lock it in. What do you got cooking on the podcast? Last week you had Randy Cross. Who's coming up this week?
This week we have Nate Boyer coming up. Green Beret. Nate Boyer was an unbelievable interview. He'll be out on Monday. Just was a real treat to talk to him. And if people don't know who Nate Boyer is, he was the one who he was in the military. He was a Green Beret, went back to Texas, and was a long snapper to the University of Texas. Went and had a cup of coffee in the NFL with the Seattle Seahawks. And then he was the one that talked to Colin Kaepernick about, how do I respect the flag but also protest. So it was a great interview, great talk. So Nate Boyer's up on Huddle Up with Gus this week.
And it's good. I can't wait to listen to that conversation because I always enjoy when I get to talk to Nate. Now, I got to end you with the fun question here. What's on the Gus Frerotte dinner menu? You already have dinner? What you guys eat tonight? Because last year I remember you called us once when you were bringing back like 4 pizzas and you got me really hungry.
Well, I'm going to get you really hungry tonight because we had these big ribeye steaks tonight that was cooked out on the grill with a baked potato and asparagus.
That's right up my alley.
I'm still smelling like I'm sitting outside and I still smell my grill, Zach. So it was really good.
And you know what my favorite part is?
Plus I had 2 Stella beers, so it was perfect. It was a perfect night.
And you know what my favorite part is? I didn't have to pay for that steak. I still owe you a steak. I didn't have to pay for that one, though.
Yeah. Well, you're going to pay for one at some point.
Oh, hit me up on Venmo. We'll get at it. Hopefully I get to Pittsburgh soon. Thanks so much. There's Gus Frerotte. Gus, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Zach. Thanks, buddy.
Gus Frerotte, Huddle Up with Gus. Weekly picks. Once again, I go Tampa -6, Falcons -3. We have to take an underdog. I go Chiefs +3.5. Gus, Colts -11.5, Cardinals -5.5, and he takes the Packers +3. When we come on back, we had a conversation earlier with Drew Bledsoe. I want to replay you 2 answers from that conversation. I think one was just a really great comment about Belichick's method of praising Cam publicly. And the other, and this maybe we could open up, and we'll take some tweets on this too, potentially, at Zach Gelb on Twitter. And you could always reach us at CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Here's the other part that I asked you. Does Cam get more of this Pats team in 2020 than Tom Brady would have if Tom Brady was still the quarterback of the Patriots? We discuss next. Zach Gelb Show, back in five, CBS Sports Radio.
The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Connor Green, a buddy of mine, Alex Barth, he does a really good job. He covers Boston sports for 98.5 The Sports Hub. He quote tweeted our interview with Drew Bledsoe. And we'll play some of that audio with Drew in just a moment. And he said, Cam Newton and Drew Bledsoe are two of the last three top overall picks to play for the Patriots. Can anybody name the guy in between them? So there is another number one overall pick that played for the Patriots in between Bledsoe playing, and Bledsoe's last year was the 2001 Super Bowl season, and Cam, while Cam's first year obviously is now in 2020. Do you have any idea who that is?
I'll go out on a limb and say maybe Ty Law.
No, Ty Law wasn't a first overall pick. It's not a bad guess, though. I'll give you one more hint. And I don't know how much this is going to help you because it's a really difficult question. And even me being Mr. Patriot, I didn't get it right away. And I was like, okay, let me just scroll down and see who it was. And I knew it was going to be something that was obscure and someone that was not dominant for the team, because you would know a number one overall pick that was dominant for the team. So here's the other hint. It was a quarterback. Guy played 1 year in New England and ended up starting, or he didn't start, but he appeared in three games.
And this is a number one overall pick?
Number one overall pick. He appeared in three games. He had two completions on three attempts. He threw one touchdown for the team in the 2006 season. Bueller.
Dude. It was drafted by the Patriots. Dude.
No, not drafted by the
Doug
Patriots.
Doug Flutie?
Good guess. Not a number one overall pick. So, you have any other guess? Ty Law, by the way, was the 23rd overall pick. And Doug Flutie, let's see, Doug Flutie's draft pick. 11th round, 285.
Not a good guess then. I don't know.
Yeah, but a Heisman Trophy winner, yeah. Quarterback. It was obscure.
He did play that year, I think, for them.
He had a drop kick, actually.
Right. I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
I'll give you one more hint. Long Island, Italian.
Vinny Testaverde?
Bingo.
He played for the Patriots in 2006.
2006, he was on the roster. Yeah. I would have never have guessed that one. But, yep, Vinny Testaverde was the number one overall pick, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How about that one? And I actually, we talked to Vinny this year at the Super Bowl. Very good dude. And, by the way, he is on board with lasagna on Thanksgiving. 1987, first overall pick, Vinny Testaverde out of the U. It's all about the U. It's all about the U with the 7th-floor crew, too. Well, he wasn't a part of the 7th-floor crew, but you know what I mean. I think Vinny Testaverde, though, did very well for himself when he was at Miami when it came to being in the bedroom, I would imagine, right? Tall, good-looking guy.
Star quarterback,
Italian skin, nice head of hair. I would say Vinny Testaverde did well for himself, right?
You would think so.
You would think. I think we're going out on a limb while I say that. Okay, it is a Friday. I don't need to get fired for anything stupid or I don't need to get a call from management when I drive up to the Poconos and then there's spotty cell service and the management thinks I hung up in them and then they think I'm all upset and frustrated and mad and annoyed. We don't need those things. So let's transition. And sometimes you don't need a super clever transition in radio. You could just say, let's transition. So we'll do that right now. Earlier in the show, we had a conversation with Drew Bledsoe. If you missed that conversation, you can find it on the radio.com rewind function after the show, or you go to my Twitter at Zach Gelb, and you can find the link in my bio of my Twitter page where we podcast all of our great segments, all of our interviews, and anything that has to do with the Zach Gelb Show, it's on our Twitter. Also, you can find a bunch of clips on our Instagram as well, which is also very simply at Zach Gelb. So let's go in the first cut. Let's hear the question that I asked, and then we'll talk about this to Drew Bledsoe where it comes to Cam in 2020 on the Pats, or if Brady in 2020 was on the Pats, who would get more out of the offense? Here's Drew.
Throughout the years, there's been some years Tom's had a lot of talent around him and some years where he just finds a way to get the most out of that football team. This is one of those years, though, when you look at the skill position players, though, Drew, there's not a lot around Cam. And like you were saying, he's been dominant through the air, dominant on his feet. Do you think because of the dual threat type of quarterback that Cam is, that he gets more out of this offense this year than Tom would have just because of the fact that Cam is a mobile quarterback?
Yeah, I think that that's certainly helpful. It puts a different kind of stress on a defense, you know, and limits what they can do some ways defensively. You know, for example, it's a lot more dangerous for a defense to play man coverage if you've got a quarterback that can run, because then the defense has their back turned to the quarterback. So it forces them into more zone coverage. But, you know, I mean, he's still got you know, some decent guys. I mean, in Keel Harry, I thought he was going to be a great player coming out of college. He took a little while to get going last year. He obviously still have jewels there. But the big thing that's going to determine to me, and this is the case throughout, you know, all of football, if they keep all of their linemen healthy throughout the entire season, you know, that allows guys more time to work to get open and allows time, the quarterback to be more accurate.
So I think a lot of what Drew said right there is very true. Just like last year with Brady, when they didn't have a ton of weapons, the biggest key was the offensive line. And last year, David Andrews, unfortunately, had the blood clot issue. Isaiah Wynn couldn't stay healthy, and Isaiah Wynn has been better than what I would have thought going into the year for someone that's been hurt the first 2 years. They're getting Cam protection, and Cam is either dissecting the defense, buying time for receivers to get some separation, or he's just taking off and running. So the offensive line is huge. I still think the Patriots would have been better than what they were last year, and they could have been a Super Bowl team if the offensive line showed up. I don't think that was a product last year of Brady slowing down, Brady showing his age, Brady being bad. Not that he played well. I just really believe that the offensive line was better. They would have easily had the 2 seed. Instead, they blew the 2 seed away when you had the whole situation at the end of the year. Fitzmagic goes on that drive, and then the Kansas City Chiefs with Kevin Harlan calling 2 games at once sees Kansas City with the victory. Then Kansas City elevated themselves to the 2 spot. That actually could be a good what-if topic if we ever get into a what-if topic. What if the Pats didn't get Fitzmagic last year? Did the Chiefs still win the Super Bowl? I don't want to move too far off, you know, from that conversation, so maybe that's a conversation for another day, but that was a point that I just thought of. So when we get into this year with the limited weapons, a better offensive line, who gets more out of this team this year? Would it be Cam or would it be Brady? Now, I think the world to Brady. I think Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. I do think, though, because this is not Tom of 2007, Tom of 2014. He is older. And let's be real, in Super Bowl 53, they did a nice balance of having the run game. And look what happened. The offensive line played well in the playoffs, and they won a Super Bowl. So when I answer this question, I think Cam, this year, with the wide receivers they have, he would get more out of this offense than Tom Brady would have, not because I don't trust Tom's arm, not because I don't trust Tom Brady. It's because of that mobility factor. There, even though the offensive line has played well, there's still questions with the offensive line, and I don't know what these receivers are. Julian Edmonds is not going to have 170-something yards each and every week. It's just not going to happen. And Jules is a good receiver. You have no tight ends. N'Keal Harry is still a project and a work in progress. And do I trust
Bird. Bird has a chemistry, at least, with Cam playing in Carolina. And Jakobi Meyers is, well, Jakobi Meyers. There's not really much with him. So, yeah, I think Cam gets more out of this team this year than Brady. Because if you look, if Brady was still there, Brady's not running around. Yeah, he moves around in the pocket and buys himself some time. But he's not going outside of the pocket and running for 20 yards like what Cam could do. Look at the Patriots offense. Well, in week one, he was 96% of the offense. He makes plays. And when there's nothing there, he takes off and he runs. And what impresses me the most with Cam, other than the leadership and the personality of Cam, which I've enjoyed a lot in these first 2 weeks, Cam doesn't take, and he delivers some hits. And he's going to get hit. He's done a nice job through the first 2 weeks, though, of knowing when to cut a play short. And I think that's very big with how many times he's going to get hit this year. And he has 4 rushing touchdowns through the first 2 games. What was that, 14 touchdowns, I think you said, is what he did in his rookie year. I think he's going to get more than 14 rushing touchdowns. And he's going to be the Patriots' leading rusher this year. So you got to know when to sacrifice and when to give up on the play. Do you agree with that, Connor, that Cam gets more out of the offense this year than Brady would have?
I think definitely. And I think right now, as of right now, because of the age, I think Cam Newton is just a better overall quarterback than Tom Brady. Now, in their primes, I would still take Tom Brady in this offense over Cam Newton. But as of right now, with Brady being 43 years old, Cam Newton's more mobile. You can argue he has more deep passing arm strength than Tom Brady has at this point. And the things that Cam Newton can do, Brady just cannot do. Especially when you have protection like you did last year where it broke down a little bit. Having somebody like Brady could be, you could have a bit of a liability where Cam can totally change the dynamic and buy his receivers more time.
Now, earlier in the show, you said the Patriots are the third best team in the AFC. I don't think that's true. I think it's Pittsburgh, personally. I want to go through their schedule real quickly. Just tell me W or loss, and I want to see how many wins that you have the Patriots getting this season. Raiders this week, you think the Patriots win, correct?
Yep.
So that gets them to 2-1. They play the Chiefs in Arrowhead the next week.
That's a loss.
Okay, 2-2. They play the Broncos the following week in New England.
Win.
3-2. 49ers in New England.
Win.
4-2. Buffalo in Buffalo.
I think they split, so 1-1 in total.
So I think we're at 3-3, right?
It'll be 5-. Well, let's just go in order. I'll say win that one.
Hold on, because I'm terrible with numbers. So let me reset here. Whenever we do, I thought I was going to be good with this. And then when we get into numbers, it just messes me up. So they're 1-1 right now. You had a win against the Raiders. That's 2-1. You had a loss against the Chiefs. That's 2-2. You had them beating the Broncos. That's 3-2. You had them beating the 49ers. That's 4-2. Buffalo?
Let's say they win this one.
Okay, so that's 5-2. 5-2. Jets?
Win.
6-2. That game's in New York. Ravens in New England?
Loss.
6-3. Texans in Houston?
Win.
7-3. Cardinals in New England?
Win.
Wow. 8-3. Chargers in LA?
They win that game too, I think.
9-3. Rams in LA?
Loss.
9-4. Dolphins in Miami?
Win.
10-4. Bills? You said they split, right? This one in New England, so they're 10-5. Jets? They go up against the Jets this time in New England.
Win.
That's 11-5. And there's not that many. Actually, now that you say it, there's not that many I disagree with. I probably say, and I know Bill does a great job of against younger quarterbacks, it's not absurd to say that the Pats beat the Cardinals. I would have probably picked the Cardinals in that one. Maybe you go the Rams, but even so, then they get to 9-7. And let's say they just split, then it's 10. This is not a tough schedule. This is not as bad as a schedule as you may have thought it was going to be. Because they lost to Seattle. You got them out of the way. You'll lose to Kansas City. You'll lose to the Ravens. 49ers, if they have Jimmy G back, what is he going to be? How many injuries? So that game's not as tough as you once thought. Texans aren't that good, even though Watson could beat them. Yeah, look at the schedule. It's not a bad schedule. Pats are going to playoffs this year. They are going to playoffs as long as Cam stays healthy. Now, if you see Stidham or if we see Hoyer, turn out the lights, the party's over. And the final thing here, I've been very surprised that Bill Belichick is praising Cam publicly. Drew Bledsoe talked about that with us.
Why do you think
Bill, and you know Bill, he doesn't give a lot of compliments publicly. Why do you think this early in the relationship he's going public with the praise of Cam?
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, I think it's genuine, so you can take it at face value first and foremost, that he does really just genuinely appreciate the guy, the way the guy has integrated himself into the team. But second, you know, when you got Cam has been kind of kicked around a little bit and then injured and so on, that, you know, one of the more important things you can have as a quarterback is just confidence. And so I'm sure there's some component of it that beyond just being honest about how much he appreciates the guy, really trying to kind of build his confidence up a bit.
And Cam is very confident. He said in an interview with Greg Hill on WEI, and I'm paraphrasing here, so don't directly quote me on it, but this is how I remember the conversation, that he heard some stereotypes about Belichick, and his first conversation, all those went right out the window. And I think Cam's a little bit different than Brady. Not that Cam can't take criticism, but I think you could really tear down Brady. And Brady, since he wasn't a number one overall pick, he always gets motivated by people telling him he can't do something. Now, people have told Cam he can't do something. We've seen how Cam's responded to it. That's why I say you could give some criticism to Cam, and Cam takes some criticism. But when you're a Heisman-winning quarterback, when you're a number one overall pick, you're used to people giving you some compliments. So if you're playing well and you're trying to build that trust, and Bill knows how important Cam is, and Cam being in a good spot mentally is the success of this team, you got to do everything in your power to make the quarterback feel good. And if Cam in his first year in New England has to deal with Belichick not giving him any praise after the first 2 weeks, and people start using that as a talking point in the media, it's just unnecessary drama when there's already enough unnecessary drama in the league. So I like that answer by Drew. I don't know if you noticed this, and maybe we'll do a voice comparison next week. Did you get a little Gus Frerotte sound? He sounded a little bit like Drew Bledsoe for a second.
All those old veteran quarterbacks all have the exact same voice.
I'm thinking for a second, I go, are we replaying the Frerotte interview and Connor just misheard what I said? And I go, no, the information's right. So I thought Gus Frerotte sounds a little bit like Drew Bledsoe. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, I'll tell you each and every team that's just going to win this week. No spread. Who's just going to win this week? And also, we got to ring the closing bell. First up, I think he's Hofstra's finest. Let's go to Kevin Dexter.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Oh, my God. We're back again.
Wrapping up shop on a football Friday. We'll get to closing bell in just a second. Let me just go through the schedule this week. I've given you a lot of predictions so far. Just to recap, I'll tell you who I like to just win, who I like to lose. And, you know, I had my three spread picks so far: Tampa minus 6, Falcons minus 3, and the Chiefs plus the 3.5. So, 49ers, Giants. 49ers win. Sloppy, ugly game. I just find I see a way of the 49ers, even with all their injuries, they're just better inside the trenches. 49ers take down the Giants. Washington Browns. Browns, run the football. You're going up against a good front seven. Baker's going to have to make a big throw. I just don't see how Washington matches the offensive talent of the Browns. Give me the Browns. Eagles Bengals in Philadelphia. Carson Wentz, Philadelphia, you better win. I think it's sloppy early, but you win the game in the fourth quarter, and maybe you come from behind and you get a W. Give me Philadelphia. Raiders and Patriots, very close. Give me the Pats, 24-20. Bears and Falcons. I'm going with Hotlanta. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. It's because I have zero confidence in Mitch Trubisky. And Mitch Trubisky, the Bears could be the worst 2-0 team. Maybe the worst 2-0 team of all time. Now, their 2-0 is a joke. You got the Giants and the Lions. The Giants almost beat you, and the Lions had to come from behind to do so. Now you're playing a competent offense. Yeah, I think the Falcons are going to score enough points. Just can Atlanta not choke away this game this week? Rams, Bills, I slightly take the Rams 24-23 over Buffalo. Texans, Steelers, I go with the Steelers. I just don't like what the Texans have other than Deshaun Watson. Tennessee Vikings, I'll put the Vikings in the win column this week. They go to 1-2. Panthers, Chargers, here's an upset. I think everyone's on Herbert. I think Herbert still plays well. No McCaffrey. There's really no reason to pick the Panthers. Panthers, they're going to play a lot of close games, you know, this year. I think this is just one that they find a way to walk out with the victory. Even though I would not mind seeing Anthony Lynn get a victory. I like both those coaches, Matt Rule and Anthony Lynn. Jets, Colts. Let's go with the Jets. Nah, come on. Indianapolis. Cowboys, Seahawks. I take the Seahawks. Lions, Cardinals, Cardinals. Buccaneers, Broncos. I told you to take the Bucks. Packers, Saints. No Thomas. No Adams, most likely. I go with Aaron Rodgers out-dueling Drew Brees. And then Chiefs and Ravens on Monday night. I go with the Kansas City Chiefs. When they're a dog, hey, Baltimore could win the game. That's why I like plus the 3.5 points. But I'll take Kansas City outright. All right, without further ado, let's ring the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, let's do it. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he was 18 of 20 last night. He had two passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown. Let's hear the rushing touchdown.
Three receivers right, two to the left for Fitzpatrick on third and goal. He's going to take it and run a design quarterback play for him to keep it, and he's into the end zone. Touchdown, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and the Dolphins indeed get another score, and now they lead it 27-7 with 2:01 left in the third.
And I believe that audio is courtesy of Westwood One. Did you hear the high-pitched screaming in the background? That's how you know a team loves their quarterback. You got this beard, this Harvard scholar, and he's running around as if he's a frat guy that just had 12 beers. Gotta love Ryan Fitzpatrick that's playing for the Fraternity Flag Football League. Stock up to the Harvard scholar on getting the Dolphins their first dub of the year. Gotta get to James Robinson. That was the big bright spot in the Jaguars' terrible 31-13 loss to Miami. He had 11 carries in the game, 46 yards, two rushing touchdowns. And then also he had six catches for 84 yards, finishing with 129 yards from scrimmage on that night. According to CBS Sports, there's only two players over the last decade to have recorded 300 scrimmage yards and three rushing touchdowns through their first three NFL games. Robinson and Kareem Hunt. That's the impact CBS Sports says Robinson's making on the NFL. Once again, only two players of the last decade have recorded 300 scrimmage yards and three rushing touchdowns through their first three games. I guess it's not just only rookies, all players. That's James Robinson and Kareem Hunt. Stock up to James Robinson. SEC football, it's back. Stock up to the SEC. Guess what's also back? Doesn't give you as much buzz and excitement as the SEC. Mountain West is coming back. They announced that today. MAC action is coming back. They announced the MAC is coming back. Good for the Mountain West. Good for the MAC. I also really do enjoy non-Power 5 college football. Being a fan of T for Temple University. Fight, fight, fight for the cherry and the white. For the cherry and the white. We'll fight, fight, fight. We also like Power 5 football, too, and the Power 5 conferences. Pac-12 also coming back. Give me a stock up to the Mountain West. Give me a stock up to the Pac-12. And give me a stock up to the MAC. Return of the MAC. Return of the MAC. Gotta love it. Gotta give a stock down to Tua Tagovailoa. I'm a huge fan of Tua Tagovailoa. With the performance, though, of Ryan Fitzpatrick last night, the one negative, it pushes back another week of us seeing Tua Tagovailoa. When will you see you on the field next? I don't know. Stock down to Tua. Denver. Denver. Down 3-1. Here we go. Denver down 3-1. Maybe they could have another comeback. I don't see it. Stock down to the Nuggets. Been a tremendous season. I just don't see how you get three more victories up against the Lakers.
Idiots. Get back in there at once and sell.
Could have the Heat in the finals tonight, by the way. They're up 52-47. A whole lot of basketball left in this one. 150 left in the second quarter in half number one. George Kittle going to miss his second game in a row, of course. When I draft you in fantasy football, just expect to get hurt. George Kittle, easy pick. Best tight end in the league. Has missed the last two games. I also drafted Christian McCaffrey. Thank God I picked up James Robinson, keeping me in it. Stock down to George Kittle. And guess what? We're waiting all day for Sunday night. One more time this week. Bum bum bada bum bum bada 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 bum. We're waiting for Aaron Rodgers to go into New Orleans, get some gumbo, get a po' boy, stop off at Irene's and Café du Monde and get a little beignet. Except he's not going to have a friend with him, Davante Adams. He's doubtful. And we already know Michael Thomas isn't going to play in the game as well. We get this big matchup. You get the Packers, you get the Saints in New Orleans. I even saw they're allowing, I think it's 750 people in the building. It's friends and family of the players and also people that I think are in the Saints organization. So there's a lot of excitement for this game. And you don't have the two best wide receivers on the field. That just stinks. I think the Packers outduel the Saints. Give me Rodgers over Breeze, but a stock down that we won't get Davante Adams and Michael Thomas on the good old gridiron. And that's the closing bell, and that's the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Very fun show today. Like to send out a bunch of thank yous. Nate Robinson, he was excellent. Man, he is still annoyed all these years later at Doc Rivers. Even though he thinks Doc's a good coach, he thought Doc made a mistake not playing him enough in the finals. And you had Nate Robinson. Who is it? Jake Paul, right? I sound like a real man. Who is it? Jake Paul? He's got like 20 million Twitter followers, I think. They're going to throw it down, and supposedly I'm joining the Nate Robinson entourage. It's going to be myself, Big Baby Davis, and Nate Robinson bringing back the band. Shrek and Donkey are getting back together, and I guess I'll figure out some Shrek character that I'm going to play. Many people probably called me Shrek throughout the year. So very good conversation with Nate Robinson. Also did enjoy our chat with Drew Bledsoe. And each and every Football Friday, who doesn't love talking some steak, talking some beer, and making some football picks with one Gus Farratt giving us a little football fix on a big Football Friday. Hope everyone stays safe. Hope everyone enjoys hopefully a good weekend of weather wherever you are. I'm playing a little golf tomorrow at Woodlock Springs in the Poconos, and then I'll be devouring some wings at night. I know summer's over, but I basically conclude summer when I go up to the Poconos, so here's my yearly end of the summer trip up to the Poconos. I'll make that drive about 2 hours. In about 5 minutes, when I finish up some work here on CBS Sports Radio, then quickly make a bolt right out of the building. Be safe. Be well. Enjoy the football. We'll be back on Monday to talk about it all. Can't wait for the No Huddle Offense on Monday right at 9 p.m. Eastern. But I can't wait for the Zach Gelb Show on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific is when we get it started. Connor Green, great job. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for tweeting. I'm Zach Gelb. I'm out. Peace.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.